Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of In the Other Truth. I am still on vacation, which is why I have this great setup behind me. Today with us is Eddie Gonzalez. He is the Moscow photographer. Eddie has 30 years of police work behind him in the great soon independent state of Texas, the
Absolutely.
Texas Republic. We'll see. The way Trump's going, that may happen sooner than later.
Yeah, let's hope.
Eddie, welcome back to the show. And you haven't been on for quite a while. How you doing? Where can people find you?
Hello, dear friends. Just want to remind you, if you like this video or you like what you hear, click like, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. Send it to your friends. Let's grow this channel. Maybe we can finally hit it up to 100,000. That'd be a good round number for the summer. So let me know, leave some comments, and give a thumbs up. So look forward to seeing you in the next video. Cheers.
Hey, Stas, first of all, thank you for the invitation. It's good to be here with you. Soon to have a maybe a little cat on camera as well. I've
Hey,
been
that's
great.
bonus points. Those are bonus points.
Yeah,
Viewers love cat. Get the cat out there, get shake it around a little. Not too much.
absolutely, absolutely. I've been busy lately. Just returned from a little family vacation out in the Ural Mountains by Chelyabinsk. And let me tell you, the economic collapse of the Russian Federation is quite evident. Quite evident. If you listen to the NAFO crowd, you listen to the Nikki Haley's of the world. But if you want the truth, you're about to get it. So stay tuned.
So how did you travel out to Chelyabinsk in that
Well,
area?
I'm glad you asked because I flew to Chelyabinsk. It's about a 2.5 hour flight. And we flew on a Russian airline with on a Russian produced commercial jet, the Sukhoi Superjet. And guess what? We didn't crash.
But wait a minute, but
We
you
didn't have
stood
any
for
mechanical issues. We didn't have any problems.
but you stood 3 hours in line to get the plane fueled up, right?
Actually, not a problem whatsoever. Of course, Sheremetyevo, there's another cat.
Bonus points,
Sheremetyevo
tail.
Airport. You're gonna have a tail here in the lens here in just a moment. But Sheremetyevo Airport, very modern airport on the north side of Moscow. And guess what, Stas? You now have baggage check-in where you don't even have to go to the counter. These modern conveniences that the West has been touting, that they have. We have them here in Moscow as well. It's they talk about Russia as a third world country that's been isolated by the West. And I don't know. I'm still looking for it. Have you seen any signs of this third world country?
But I think isolation from the West is not a bad idea. That's just the point. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
It does have its advantages. Yes, it does.
There's still the rest of the world, which is the vast majority of humanity. So when you got to Chelyabinsk, and you got through all the corruption and the zombies walking around with canisters going gas, gas. How did you get around at Chelyabinsk? Did you get the buggy? Did you get the horse? Were you on a mule? Did you have to foot it?
Well, there's this miracle invention called automobiles. And of course, they have automobiles in Chelyabinsk. And not only automobiles, they have buses. So you have public transportation, you've got taxi, and private vehicles, privately owned vehicles. So Russians can actually afford to buy and operate private vehicles in Russia. So that's one of the ways that we got around. It totally surprised me.
That's the modern world. So let's move a little into the sphere of geopolitics. Ukraine has just recently gotten its first shipment of 2,000 sets of body armor for women, including pregnant women. What do you make of that?
Well, it tells you a couple of things. First of all, that Ukraine is running out of men. Of course, we've been saying this for many years, and of course, the Western pundits keep denying this, but this is a reality. And you've seen these videos just constantly on X of these Gestapo-like teams of the military. They call them recruiters, but they're not recruiters. They're more like kidnappers,
Press gangs.
stopping just ordinary, now even families, and literally ripping the men away from their wives and their children, putting them into vans or vehicles and driving them away. I mean, we've seen this constantly for years. And now there was even a recent body exchange where the ratio is just astronomical against Ukraine. And now the fact that they're receiving body armor for females and even pregnant females, that tells you the truth. That tells you the real story of what's happening there. And it's sad. And at the same time, it's just horrific to think that now we actually have to recruit females to fight in this conflict. It's unimaginable, unimaginable.
If you have 100 guys and one woman, your society's damned and doomed. If you have one guy and 100 women, you still have a future because one guy can get 100 women
A
pregnant.
absolutely,
100 guys
absolutely.
can't get one woman pregnant. No, one of them can, but that's about the extent of that. That we're seeing more and more women. And by the way, just as a statistic, the number of women on the front lines in Ukraine has geared up from 5% in 25 to almost 8% in 26. Would you call this a rolling genocide by the authorities in Ukraine?
Well, that's kind of been the unspoken truth when Ukraine has been decimated in their male population, okay? Their military age, their productive age men has been decimated by this conflict of over the years. So how can you have any type of industrial production? How can you have any type of working economy when you no longer have the men and the manpower to do this labor? So now you have to use women. And of course, America did this during World War II. We know it works, and it's happened before. But these women were not recruited into the military. Yes, there were women in the military, usually in the medical field. Some were pilots, others, but mainly non-combat units. Now, I can't imagine Ukraine not using women on the front line or in some sort of combat role because they simply don't have the manpower. So it's tragic. And it just goes to talk to the truth of what is actually happening on the ground in Ukraine.
Now, Ukraine, because by the way, they do have this gigantic lack of manpower, which we're told constantly that it doesn't exist. You mentioned, first of all, you mentioned the body exchanges. This last one was a little smaller because Ukraine wouldn't accept all the bodies. Well, Ukraine doesn't accept all the bodies anyways. There's, and I've videotaped this. I've been on the seeing some of the stuff. There's over 100,000 corpses in storage, and probably another 200,000 laying around getting eaten by pigs, dogs, rats, crows. There's no bears in there, and they'd probably be taking a bite out of it too.
Right.
But having said that, we've seen that Ukraine just imported 500,000 Indians and Pakistanis to do work as labor. And if you listen to some of these supposedly ultra nationalists, they're quite happy to have their women bred. Quite literal, that's the language they use by foreigners, because just it'll make a better race, as they put it. It's insane, because you have ultra nationalists that actually despise their own genetics because they know they're Russians at the end, and they're talking about importing another 9 million. What does it say
This
about
is the great.
society as a general? In a society
This is
that's
the great.
maybe 18 million people in total right now.
Yeah, this is the great replacement. This is the great replacement. You have removed the Ukrainian men and replaced them with immigrant foreigners. And the fact is that you didn't do this this type of migration that occurred like in Europe. This is a result of the fact that you don't have manpower in any industrial, you don't have any industrial capacity. So you're going to have to bring men from another country. And where are they bringing these men from? First of all, they don't speak the language. They don't share the same religious background and traditions. And they don't have the same values toward women that white Slavs do. Christian Slavs, let's go ahead and say that as well. So there's going to be a greater conflict between just different peoples coming together. It's going to be a different Ukraine in another 30 years. Give it a generation or two, and it's going to be a completely different, it's a different country today than it was before this conflict started, but it's going to be much different. And to that point, that it's going to be different in another 30 years, in another generation, this is a country that borders the Russian Federation. So this is going to be another complication with regard to border security once this conflict ends. So lots of challenges ahead, not only for Ukraine, but also for Russia.
I mean, just have we the speed of migration. I mean, if this keeps up, if they're really going to bring in the next year to 2 years, 9 million people. I mean, 500,000 they brought in literally less than half a year. The last time we saw anything close to that was what Merkel did, when she brought in 1 million people, 1 million men, because the 90% were men, young men. Into Germany in 1 year. What do you think? Do you think these guys would fight for Ukraine when this comes down to it? Or
I don't
what do you
think
think is
it's a
going to happen
matter of,
internally?
yeah, I don't think it's a matter of if they will fight for Ukraine. It's going to be a matter of when, because you've got these thugs, these recruiters that are looking for able-bodied men to fight. And when they can't find that anymore, we've got Pakistanis, we've got Indians. You know what? Yeah, we need you. And then there's going to be forced mobilization from the immigrants that come into Ukraine. Personally, and of course, I don't have any proof of this, I believe that that's probably the end game. I think that's probably the goal. That's one way that we can entice fighters to move into Ukraine. We'll just bring them in here as workers, but who knows?
If the motivation's low enough as it is right now from actual Ukrainians getting press ganged, What's the motivation going to be for Indians or Pakistanis or Bangladeshis? That's hey, now you get to go die against the Russians.
Well, I'm sure, I don't know what their enticements would be. I'm sure they'll say, hey, you'll get a place to live, you'll get a job, you'll get, in fact, the ratio of men to women is going to be insane.
Yeah,
So
if you
there's that
survive.
enticement as well. So, what do these guys have to lose?
Well,
So,
the place to live is going to be a trench. The job is going to be cannon fodder. And the women, if you survive and you still have all your body parts attached to you.
yeah, no, absolutely. It's tragic all around. And this is what really gets me as an American. We Americans always have this exceptionalist, elitist idea that we are above the uncivilized world. That this is barbaric, and we do not accept this. This is not who we are as a country. This is not who we are as a people. We are a Christian nation, quote unquote. But yet, the level of apathy from just ordinary Americans toward what is happening, not only in Ukraine, let's throw in Gaza. Let's throw in what's happening in Iran as well. All of these conflicts, all of this genocide that is happening everywhere. And Americans are just, basically rah, 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 Trump, America first. Yeah, let's go kick some ass, those brown skinned people. Yeah, which by the way, I've heard before as a brown skinned Caucasian in Texas. But it's the same thing. And I just, it's just something that I cannot understand. If you are a true American who values life, as you say, who values sovereignty, wouldn't you value sovereignty of another country, of another nation, of another people, with their own ability to determine their future? And it's just something that I cannot understand.
Yeah, and we've seen this getting ramped up and ramped up, but it seems that the key a key ingredient and in all of this, including putting Israel into the driver's seat of American procurement and intelligence, how would you rate, by the way, how would you rate or what would you say to the Congress critters that have pushed through or are pushing through, let me rephrase that, trying to push through bills that puts a foreign nation directly in the procurement cycle of the U.S. military. So there's no longer, the 4 billion or whatever billion the U.S. gives, but it's still going through the State Department. So it's kind of got some oversight, but this is directly into the system, and put them in the driver's seat of the military of the entire intelligence apparatus too. What would you call such people that are pushing this through?
Well, first of all, I called them evil. But as you said, the Congress critters, okay, that's we know what they are and who they are and who they're controlled by. But let's go back to the average American voter that is allowing this to happen. And not only allowing it, they probably don't even know about it. And for a country that considers itself to be exceptional, and the elite and above everyone else, you are giving part of your sovereignty, your ability to defend your nation. You're going to share that with a foreign country? I mean, that's just insane. It's insane. I can imagine the founding fathers just rolling in their grave. It's like, what are you doing? We got away from this. We created something beautiful, a representative republic, and you've trashed it. You've absolutely trashed it. And of course, we could talk about the reasons why, but I'll just go ahead and say this. I firmly believe one of the reasons for the decline America has started when they removed God from society and just wanted to rip it apart. And this has been the pivotal moment where the decline of the U.S. began. And there's no end in sight, no end in sight. Even with Lady Graham gone, there's still no end in sight.
And we'll get to Lady Graham lighting the loafers in a minute. Have you ever heard of the Noahide laws?
Sorry, say again?
The Noahide laws.
No, I haven't.
That's something you should look up. So basically, for religious Jews, there's like 630-something laws that they're supposed to follow. So it's the legalistic approach to worshiping God. Versus, you know, doing it with your soul. But so back in the 6th century after Christ, I refuse to use that in common era crap. It's A.D. Anna Dias. So in the year of the Lord, 6th century, some...
Hang on. Hang on just a second.
Yeah, yep. No problem.
Oh my gosh. I've got some sinus drip.
Coffee's a better drip. You pop it right into the vein. Let the drip start.
Absolutely, absolutely. You may want to go ahead and start that over.
Yeah, so the Noahide laws. This is something that popped up in the 6th century, the year of our Lord Christ. It was Jewish scholars that came up with this set of 7 laws for the righteous Goya. And it got buried. It came up, one of the philosophers came up with that, and it got buried, and it got resurfaced back around the 1960s, 1970s, by Chabad, you know, the religious faction of Zionism that grew up in the southwestern portion of the Russian Empire, which is now Ukraine, at presently, anyways. Got Odessa, Nikolaev, that area, and going up. So this is something that's being pushed by the Zionists. And on the surface, they don't seem that bad. The first 2 laws, for example, are no worship of idols and do not blasphemy God. And then, you know, don't eat from living animals, religious courts, by the way, it calls for religious courts, not to do sexual deviancy and so on. But the interesting part is the first 2 of those laws, you shall not blaspheme God and you shall not worship idols, is that the Chabad considers Christ and the Virgin Mary and everything that sort to be blasphemers of God, and to be and Christianity to be idol worshipers. And we are starting to hear all of this from these Christian Zionists. They're not Christians, and we start to see this. They're talked about as the righteous Goya, and so on and so on, including up to and including we've had Ted Cruz, who was on an. I'm not sure if it was a Tucker Carlson interview or not, but he flat out said, you know, people that say Christ is king, that's racist, and this is exactly what they're going to to deny Christianity. If you haven't seen that, take a look. Take a look at what these people are saying as the people, these Zionists, these Christian Zionists. It's very interesting. It's disturbing, and it's very interesting, and it's very widespread in the U.S.
Well, it you know, it speaks to the term of Judeo-Christian.
That's, by the way, they came up with that. Yes.
Well, absolutely. This is an attempt to merge and to normalize Jewish tradition, the Jewish religion, as being equal to and the same as Christianity. And as Christians, we were taught that, I mean, in my religious education as a young Texan, going to Sunday school and church and things like this, they never demeaned the Jews. Okay, that was not the purpose, but they did teach you the Christian tradition, the Christian religion, and the Christian values. And based upon that and what you know, then you would determine that the Jews are not the same as Christians. But now we have this term of Judeo-Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, I respect other religions. I respect Islam. I respect the Jewish tradition. I really don't even call it a religion. I call it more of a tradition. I acknowledge and respect other faiths. But that doesn't mean that they're equal to the faith that I subscribe to. And I'm not going to demean them. But this fact that you're trying to weave in Judeo-Christian values as American values, it's like, no, wait a minute. Nowhere in the Bill of Rights does it mention Judeo-Christian. Nowhere in the Constitution of the United States does it mention Judeo-Christian. If anything, the only word that is mentioned of a higher power is God. That is it. So Ted Cruz is a Zionist neocon, bought and paid for by Israel, masquerading as a Texan. And that is blasphemous to this native Texan. Absolutely.
Well, how did you feel in that Tucker Carlson interview where Ted Cruz said, you know, I wanted to be the best representative for Israel in the U.S. Senate, not for Texas, not for the people that elected him, but for Israel?
Absolutely. I you know, and here I was expecting the Texas wing of the GOP to just come out and say, what did you just say? Texans elected you to represent the state of Texas, and you just come out and say, no, I'm here and I'm all in for Israel. It's like, is that acceptable? And guess what? Nothing, not a peep. Nothing to contradict that. And that just goes to show you that the GOP is also compromised. It's also sold out. And how, as an American voter, can you just sit idly by and let this happen? It's incredible.
It's true. It's absolutely true. It's, you know, and again, if he had said, I wanted to be the best representative for Uganda, for Cambodia, for China. I mean, I'm pardon my French, the shitstorm that would have occurred at that point in time. But, you know, any other
you
nation.
Know, I'm not part of Ted Cruz's PR team, but Ted, I'm going to give you some advice, okay? Free of charge this time. It would have been better to come out and say, I am elected to represent the people of Texas, and the people of Texas also want to help our foreign neighbors and maybe Israel and stuff like, maybe a little softer tone like that, Ted, would have been an easier sell than just to say, I've sold my soul to Israel. There you go. If you'd like some more PR, I'll send you my information and, you know, contact me.
Yeah, that's it's a tragicomedy, you know, at this point. And considering the biggest troll gnome, I don't know, old Lindsay's out of the picture. He's had his meeting with Jesus, whether he believed in him or not. Don't talk bad or ill of the dead, but you know, how about talk the truth of the about the dead?
Well, let's talk the truth about his life.
Exactly.
We'll leave the afterlife to God. to be the ultimate judge. But we can definitely judge what he did while he was alive.
Absolutely.
That's fair game. And Lindsey Graham did more, he did so much harm, yes, to other nations, but he did so much harm to just foreign policy and relations between the United States and our neighbors around the world. He was an enemy and a traitor to the United States. And I will say that forever.
Speak it, brother. Speak it.
Yeah. He is an enemy of the state.
Yeah.
And I don't speak ill of the dead, but I think America is better off with his voice and his power being silenced. But then again, is it really silenced? I mean, his sister was just replaced. She was just installed. How do the people of South Carolina feel about that? You have no voice. Yep. And of course now, everybody said, relax, relax. It's just temporary. She's going to serve out his term. No big deal. And then you'll be able to elect who you want. Now the GOP is talking about even the Trump administration is saying, oh, we'd like her to run. No experience.
You didn't see that one coming, did you now?
Yeah, of course. But the old bait and switch, right?
Yep.
The same playbook. Why do they want her in there? She's perfect. She's perfect for the deep state. She's perfect for the Trump administration, which, if you ask me, the Trump administration and the deep state are the same thing now, even though he talked about drain the swamp. Where's drain the swamp? We haven't heard that in years.
He is the swamp. What's he going to drain?
Exactly. She is going to be just a shoo-in. There's going to be, hey, we need you to vote this way. We need you to push this legislation. We need you to change this language in this bill.
Yep.
And of course, she has no experience. She's not going to listen to the voters because she just doesn't understand that, hey, I don't have to listen to the voters. I got installed.
Yeah.
So very, very dangerous precedent if they push her or primary her in the next election.
Oh, you know that's,
they are. They are. 100%. 100%. But South Carolina, where are you? Where are you? Make your voice heard.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a chance to finally get rid of the Graham dynasty here. I guess that's a dynasty now. Nepotism at its highest.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, let's mention this really fast because this does affect Russia. Now, Lindsey Graham, before he had his demise, untimely demise, was preparing another package of sanctions along with Senator Blumenthal from the Democrat side. Okay, this is collusion, all right, between red and blue.
So basically one party, two wings.
Uniparty. Yep. Let's call it what it is. Anyway, the sanctions package that is going to specifically target Russian banking systems. And there is specific language in this bill, in this sanctions bill, targeting Americans and prohibiting Americans from doing business with any of these banks. Well, guess what? I'm one of those Americans who does business with some of those potential targets. So guess what? I'm being sanctioned. And I've said this from the very beginning, that the sanctions against Russia were effective, but they were most effective toward Americans who chose to live here.
Yep.
And so I've always said that I'm sanctioned by my government. My government is embarrassed. My government hates the fact that I have chosen to live here. And just for the record, I'd like to set this record straight for your viewers who may not know me from any of my previous videos, which I've said this many, many times. I did not move to Russia for ideological reasons. I moved to Russia because I found love here. Now, after I moved here, the United States was in severe decline, especially after Biden or under the Biden administration. And I considered myself to be lucky, grateful to God that I had a soft landing, because I was in the perfect place at the perfect time when America was in decline. And I saw it firsthand. And, you know, is Russia perfect? No. Is it better than a lot of places around the world? 100%. And am I better off in Russia than I am in America? In many, many ways, I am. And, of course, we don't have the time to go into all of those details, and maybe we could take that up maybe in another video.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I did not move here for ideological reasons. Many people have, and more power to them. Many people have moved for traditional values. They want to raise their families in a safe environment. I was just in Chelyabinsk. I think I sent you the picture.
Yeah.
I'm going down Kirova Ulitsa, which is a pedestrian street in Chelyabinsk, and I see this Texas barbecue pub, and it's like, I got to go in this place, right? I'm in Chelyabinsk, 1,000 miles east of Moscow. There's a Texas barbecue place. I walk in. One of the first things I see is this huge Confederate flag hanging on the wall. And I was like, this is great. In the 3 years that I've lived in Russia, I have yet to see one LGBTQ flag. But I have seen dozens of Confederate flags. I've seen them on the back of cars. I've seen flags. You're known to have one or two, I'm sure.
I have been known to have a few, so, yes.
and it's so refreshing that you can see this and experience this here. And so, you know, just one small little story of how Russia is really an amazing place.
Yeah, by the way, if you want to get a Confederate flag, which you can't get in the U.S. these days, you go on Ozone or Wildberries. Ozone, type in Confederate, and you can get everything from Confederate flags, Confederate patches, Confederate mugs with the flag. You can get hats. You know, it's an amazing
In
amount
fact,
of products on there, as a matter of fact.
Let me give you 60 seconds about this. And that is, I, as an American, as a foreigner in Russia, I'm not deprived of anything from the West. I can purchase anything that you can purchase in America, in the West. I can purchase it here in Russia. It may come from who knows where it's imported from, but I can get it. And many times I can get it cheaper in Russia, even with when the dollar to ruble ratio is not at as at an advantage to the dollar, I can still buy it cheaper. Why? Because Daddy Trump put these tariffs on Chinese products that Russia doesn't have, and I can get electronics, I can get cameras, I can get all kinds of tech here quite often cheaper than you can purchase it in America.
Yep.
So more power to the sanctions.
Please don't throw me into the briar bush. That's what it reminds you of, doesn't it?
That's sarcasm, by the way, in case you didn't pick that
up.
Yes,
it is. So back to, well, you know, because a large chunk of that sanctions bill is also aimed at banks around the world working with Russian oil and gas companies. U.S. Right. imports 8.5 million barrels of crude and, one second, truck driving by. Okay, 8.5 million barrels of crude and processed oil products, so petroleum products, diesel, lubricants, and so on. There's already, thanks to Trump, basically 20 million barrels are taken off the market as is from the Middle East. which is a huge hit. That's 20 million barrels per day. Now they're trying to take Russian oil out, which, by the way, the U.S. imports. Yeah, how is that going to hit the average American, the one that has to fill up his gas tank just to get to work? Because there's no public transportation in most states, not anything
Yeah,
real.
I've seen a lot of posts on X from people just being angry that, the Trump 47 has just forgotten about all of his campaign promises. They're paying more for gas. They're paying more for groceries. They're paying more in rent. They're paying more in interest. It's like, when is it going to stop, this bleeding of economic buying power in America? And people are getting fed up with it. And they're starting to wake up to the fact that Trump 47 either sold them a bill of goods or he's been compromised. Either one.
Or both. Well, one doesn't necessarily
Cancel out the other,
cancel out
yeah.
the other. And we see this, look, the continued war in Iran, and a war of aggression, striking now absolute civilian targets, which, by the way, Ukraine is also doing because they can't do the military part. They're striking Wildberries warehouses, which are equivalent to an Amazon warehouse, as
Right,
possible
right.
military targets. Before that, we've seen them taken out. I mean, just a month ago, it's just a typical thing. The Thiel drones, the Palantir terrorist drones, that are on autopilot, and when their charge starts going down to like below 80%, they're just aiming for anything that's moving. So they don't care. They're hitting civilians. Thiel is a murderous terrorist thug owned by the CIA, which is another bunch of thugs, murderous thugs. We've seen them just the other day. There was, I think, 15 civilians killed in Russia in different incidents. Again, strikes by Ukrainian, aka American drones. They've taken out 2 weeks ago, I think it was 3 weeks ago, they took out two kids, 11 and 12 years old. You can't even call them teenagers, on a bicycle. They're riding a bicycle. Had a drone take them out. Things like that. What can you say to that, and to what Trump is doing? Well, the American people themselves. Forget about the Europeans here. This is straight out of America. The guidance systems, the satellite imagery.
Well, here's the thing is that like I said, the average American doesn't know anything about it. The average American is in survival mode. Average American is trying to figure out, how can I pay my mortgage? How can I get to work? How can I put food on the table? They don't have time to pay attention to the news. They don't have time to pay attention to what foreign policy initiatives or how foreign policy is being carried out in the name of their country. So there's this void of information that most Americans don't even get. And it's really the Washington crowd. It's maybe a small percentage of the people that are read into this that actually care about what's going on. But I believe that if ordinary fathers, mothers, young adults who actually care about human life, they would be in just a total uproar at what is happening and what our, and I say our because I am still an American citizen, what our government is allowing to happen by continuing funding of arms, funding of intel or producing of intel, sharing intel, and helping these criminals. Because this is not a, it's not a, it goes beyond just being a war between armed combatants. Okay? This is terrorism. When you target civilians, when you target children, when you target the innocent, you become a criminal. This is terrorism. And of course, America was terrorized in 9/11. But man, oh man, is the American memory so short that we forget, that we forget what that day was like. And imagine that day happening every day. That's some child's reality in Gaza. That's some child's reality in Eastern Ukraine. That's some child's reality in Iran. And like I said, the American memory is very, very short.
It is. But you know, what I think a lot of people miss is their position. Yeah, they've got a hard position. They're in survival mode. But a very large chunk, if not the majority, of the reason they're in survival mode is because of the crap that the U.S. government is doing directly in
100%.
Other countries, disrupting the economies of other countries and their own economy, disrupting the world economy, in other words, disrupting world trade, costing American jobs from tariffs, number one reason. American companies are no longer profitable in competition overseas. You know, everything, the U.S. farmers, was like 50, 55 farmers, farming families per day are falling out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Per day. That's 55 farms per day that are closed down. I mean,
this is a disaster.
You can't go on with that for very long.
No, you can't. No, you can't. And here, and of course, let me go back to just last week, because I know most Americans have already forgotten about this. But Trump comes out and announces that China meddled in the 2020 election. Okay.
Oh,
and we're
God.
Just ramping
so now
up.
It's China Gate.
Yeah. It's not, you know, I posted on X the other day. I said, China's suddenly the new Russia, you know?
Yeah.
China Gate. So we're going to demonize China. All right. Now, folks, just walk around your home, walk around your garage, and just number the amount of products that you use on a daily basis that are produced in China. Now, tell me, would you be antagonizing the producer of the things that you use every day and that you count on to be reasonably priced that you can afford because you need them on a daily basis? Would you be antagonizing that producer?
Eddie, it's even worse if you count subcomponents in American-made products.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Not precious metals, but...
rare earth?
I can't... Rare earth minerals, yes, that are necessary for high-tech production in the United States, or possibly in other countries, but they're used in the United States. Think about it, folks. What is our government doing and why? Because you're going to pay for it. You and I are going to pay for it.
Yep. That's absolutely true. Most of the problems with the U.S. government, well, the U.S. economy, let me phrase that, the reason poverty rates are soaring. I had some guy try to argue with me, wealth disposition in Russia is horrible. And I agree with him. It is. When the bottom 50% of the Russian population controls 16% of assets in Russia, that is horrible. Now look at the U.S. The bottom 50% controls 3% of equity in the country. 16% is low. I absolutely agree. It should be at least 25. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the bottom 50%. But the U.S., you know, who's talking? 3%.
Yeah, and like I said, these are facts that the average American just doesn't know, and probably not even interested in, because like I said, they're more concerned with how am I going to pay the bills this month.
Yep.
And if you ask me, the powers that be are happy to keep the American population in that survival mode so that you're distracted with just surviving,
yep,
that they can run amok in Washington and do whatever they want to do because you're not paying attention.
Yep.
And like I said, this is something that I've seen. You know, I was red pilled in the 90s. I saw this, you know, it was plain as day. And it's now it's even more it's even more visible if you have eyes to see. But you just got to put two and two together. It's not difficult. It's not rocket science.
I stopped voting Republican. I mean, I haven't voted in U.S. elections for quite a while now, but I stopped voting Republican. It was 2008. It was, no, I think 2008, I didn't vote Republican. I voted Libertarian. Not that I thought the Libertarians would win. They can't. The U.S. system's crooked, so you can't get a third party in there anyways, to be realistic. But just out of spite, because you see what's going on. And, hold your nose, vote for lesser of two evils. It's still the same evil.
It is. The Uniparty is so prevalent, and it's so obvious. It's so obvious. But yet they, mainstream media, the GOP, the DNC, they keep this facade that they are opposites,
Right.
and they truly aren't. Okay, and you talk about Antifa, BLM, and I've heard so many people say, "Oh, this was a DNC operation." It's like, really? Yeah. Okay. All right. This is an inside job. And it doesn't matter who the executive is in Washington, it's the bureaucratic level in all of these agencies that runs the government on a day-to-day basis. And if you can't see that, tune in to more podcasts from Stas. Tune into some of my posts on X, okay, for a little
absolutely.
more education on this. Because
And
it's quite obvious.
by the way, I'm going to have a video coming out on how the system's cooked. It has been cooked for since at least the 1960s. You can't win because it's not meant for you to win.
It's not meant for you to
It's
win.
not.
Yeah,
And
the
but
House is going to win.
oh yeah, well, and not even the House, but a very small percentage of the House's management is going to win. And you're right. You're absolutely right. The level of corruption, the level of treason. I mean, let's call it what it is.
Let's call it what it is.
It's
Absolutely.
absolute treason. The U.S. government is run by traitors that are out for their own bennies. I won't call them ideological traitors. Some of them are. Some of them may be religious based. These Noahide type people, Christian Zionists. But then the majority are just plain. How much can I lie in my pocket? You know, 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, I said the biggest mistake of the Soviet Union was they never set up a controlled socialist light party to have elections, with two party system. That was a stupid mistake. They had a kind of elections where you had the Communist Party A candidate versus Communist Party B candidate. But if they just set up this a socialist light party that they still controlled, let them win a little bit to make it look like they have something. That's the U.S. system. That is the
Yeah,
U.S. system right
absolutely.
there.
Absolutely. You can imagine this. I mean, we don't know for sure, but you can imagine these meetings behind closed doors between Republicans and Democrats and say, "Let's strategize. How
Yes.
can we rape the American people and just take the treasury for all of ourselves?" Like, yeah, let's do it. Okay,
And
you
make them
play your
like
part,
it.
I'll play my part. Absolutely. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. And then like you've got the MAGA crowd, you've got just, oh my gosh. Yeah. Some days I just want to quit arguing with these people, but I mean it makes my day go by faster, so I enjoy it.
Yeah, and airplanes flying. Can't see it. That's a sounds like a. Anyways, but you can't change a lot of these people's minds. Look, two thirds of or so, or at least half of MAGA left Trump. The people that actually voted for values. The other people are the ones that bought Trump coins. They're groupies. They're fanatics. You can't argue the truth with them. They shut you off.
No, it's like a religion to them.
It is. Well, I mean, look, I know we've been on for a while, so let me finish with this question to you. Trump wants to put a Arc de Triomphe, and he wants to put it in the Arlington Cemetery. Now, normally, Arc de Triomphes were put somewhere either toward the center of a city or the edges of a major road of city, because that's a triumphal arc. That's where the triumphal emperor or general or what have you has his triumph, which is the arc.
Right.
So this man wants to put an American Arc de Triomphe in the entrance of Arlington Cemetery. What the hell kind of message is that going to be?
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. To me, that is a dual-fisted, double barrel to the eternal memory of the sacrifices from the men and women that are buried at Arlington Cemetery. You don't put that there. The cemetery is a sacred place of honor for what these people sacrificed. Fathers, sons, brothers, gone. But to put the triumphant arch is something positive, but you don't want to me, this is this would be akin to blasphemy for their memory, and that's not where I would put it. It's not a very good look. And whoever on Trump's PR team, please reach out to me. I can help you. It's going to cost you. But the other part of me is like, do I really want to help you? Yeah. Answer is probably no.
Common sense things you would think, but no, obviously not.
Yeah, no. That's totally wrong. And yeah, I would even venture to say, don't even put it in DC. Don't put it in New York. And of course I'm not saying, to put it in, in I don't know, Dallas. But maybe somewhere in Philadelphia or some other place. And someplace where it could honor the triumph. But Stas, let me ask you, what are they triumphant about?
And that's a very good question. You could, I think you could put it over by the Israeli embassy, or maybe what's the best on Wall Street, right in front of Wall Street, maybe a banking cluster right beside Bank of America, in
Because if
Charlotte,
they're,
North
yeah,
Carolina.
if they want to say we were triumphant in World War II, I think you're 100 years too late. Okay,
Yeah.
it should have been built long, long ago.
Right.
But we immediately went into the Korean conflict,
That nobody
followed by
remembers.
Vietnam, followed by et cetera, et cetera. It's in Gulf One, Gulf Two. We've been at war ever since.
Panama, Grenada,
The
Somalia, Libya.
Idea of
Yeah.
a triumphant arch means we won. We won. We conquered and we got rid of fascism, or we got rid of all the evils of the world, and now we are triumphant. But yet we're still at war. What do we have to be triumphant about if we're still having conflict in Iran, when we're still antagonizing China? Because we want to get into a war with them, when we're still running a proxy war against Russia and Ukraine. Yeah,
Yeah.
I have nothing to be, I don't feel triumphant. Let's just say that.
Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Nazism, as we've seen all over the West, is it's triumphed. It's come back. It's coming back. That demon's climbed back out of the grave, if it ever was in the grave. But that demon's up
Yeah.
and running around.
It never was it never was completely exterminated, and I think history has shown that.
Yep.
And it's gone into hiding, but now it's coming out into the light. It's a lot easier to see.
Oh yeah. Look at the half the Ukrainian army. They've got SS and some symbolism or tattoos, and they put the SS the German swastikas on their tanks and everything else. Yeah, it's there. You go right there.
And
Don't have to
here's
look
another
for
thing. There was, shortly after Maidan in 2014, mainstream media, CNN, MSN, NBC, were New York Times had articles about the Nazi components in Ukraine. Go look it up. It's the internet is forever, people. Go look it up and then see how their narrative has switched 180 degrees. And then the next question you should ask yourself is why? Why have they changed their opinion? And start from there. That's how you start to do some thinking.
It is. Amen, brother. Amen. And the unfortunate part is that's something, by the way. So to everybody that has a friend who's not thinking, share these videos. Let them think, because they can ignore politics, but politics isn't ignoring them and their misery in life, because their businesses are failing, people are being unemployed, debt is skyrocketing, products are hard to find, and so on and so on, is all directly the result, not linked, but the result of all of this crap that the US government, that the traitors in power are doing. I don't know how else to call them.
The traitors in power, absolutely, 100%.
Eddie, I want to thank you for coming on. I've got to get you on more often than it's been. Yeah, we can discuss, by the way, your experience here in the next episode. Thank you very much for joining. Where can people find you again?
Stas, thanks very much for the invitation. You can follow me on X. That's where I am most visible right now. That's x.com/Eddie Gonzalez. You can also find me on YouTube. I'm not as active on YouTube as I used to be, but that changed shortly. And you can also find me there as Eddie Gonzalez, Moscow photographer.
Excellent. Excellent. Everybody, thank you for joining, and we shall return.